this message with you this morning. You can begin turning to Judges chapter 3. I struggle with forgetfulness. Seeing a lot of people looking at the person next to them. I don't know if it's like the story I read this week of a salesman from the city who went down to visit a farmer. While he was there, he saw the farmer give a low whistle, and suddenly this dog bursts out of the barn, goes and herds up all the cattle, puts them in a corral. The dog then pushes the gate shut and reaches up and latches it closed with its paw. Salesman says, "That is some dog. What is that dog's name?" The farmer says, "What's the name of that flower that's red and smells good and has thorns on the stem?" And the salesman says, "That's a rose." Farmer says, "Right," looks at his wife. "Hey, Rose, what's the name of that dog?" I debated if I was going to do that one or not. I'm not really a stand-up comedian, but my wife's shaking her head no, so if I could go back and change one decision in my life, that would have been it. Well, this morning as we're looking at Judges 3, we want to talk about this idea from our message, don't forget. And perhaps you struggle with forgetfulness. Now, we need to talk, though, what kind of forgetfulness you're struggling with, because a lot of us forget things that aren't really that important, whereas some of us are maybe struggling with spiritual forgetfulness. But I saw a poll that recently said that millennials, those who are 35 to 18, are twice as likely to forget what day of the week it is than those who are 55 and older. We are becoming more and more forgetful as a society. And so I read this article and it suggested all kinds of memory tricks. It suggested building a mind palace. I won't even explain that to you because I'm still trying to fathom it. It also suggested acronyms. Now that one works because when I was in the Army, we had these acronyms for everything, these weird words that meant nothing unless you knew what the letters stood for. So you had all these different ways that tried to encourage you to fix your memory. But as I read, you know what I found the best way is to not forget things? To pay attention. To just pay attention, to avoid distractions. In fact, there's a director of a memory clinic. I didn't know there was a memory clinic. But this director said that forgetting is a sign of how busy we are. When we're not paying good attention, the memories we form aren't very robust or memorable. Now, sometimes one of you may walk up to me and say, "Pastor Heath, I have something going on this week," and I pull out my phone. I'm not checking Facebook, and I'm not texting. I'm writing it down, because if I don't put it down that you're going for something on Tuesday, or it's gone. I'm not going to remember it. I do this sometimes with my wife or my children. They say, "Something's going on this week." Pull out my phone, I put it on there. I know I need to schedule it because I don't want to forget. I want to remember this. Now, as we're going through the book of Judges, so far what we've seen in Judges is it's just been communicating to us the relationship of these people to God, that they were constantly falling into these states where they were close to God and far from God, close to God, far from God. Feel familiar? Some of us go through those times, don't we? And we say, "Why aren't I as close to the Lord as I intend to be?" But now we're going to meet the first judge, a guy named Othniel, and he really comes at a critical time in the history of Israel. You see, Israel has now become more entangled with the pagan people living around them. Remember, God said these people had to be completely pushed out. It's a judgment upon them. You'll see why in a moment. But also because if you leave these poor negative influences around you, they're going to influence you. And so these people didn't push them out. And so now their children, the children of Israel, are beginning to marry the children of pagans. And this does not lead to a revival of people worshiping the Lord. And so you're going to see this tragic development that happens in Israel's life didn't come through deliberate attempts to disobey God. They simply forgot. They forgot what God had called them to. They forgot who God was. And because they allowed themselves to live in a place of forgetfulness, they became more distant from the Lord. Today, our big point is simply this. Don't forget the God who never forgets you. I could probably stop right there. But I'm going to keep going because I like preaching. But don't forget the God who never forgets you. Let's take a look. Judges chapter 3, verses 7 through 8. If you like Bible names, oh boy, you're in for some Bible names today. So it tells us, Judges chapter 3, verse 7, "And the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. They forgot the Lord their God and served the Baals and the Asherah. Therefore, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Israel, and he sold them into the hand of Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia. And the people of Israel served Cushan-Rishathaim 8 years. So because of their disobedience, they find themselves being ruled by somebody who's not one of them. Their disobedience puts them in this place. Now, Mesopotamia, where was this coming from? This would be present-day northern Iraq and Syria. And in fact, if you look in the history books, you can't find a guy by the name of Cushan-Rishathaim in the history books. You might say, well, maybe this points that maybe the Bible's not so accurate. No, this was actually his nickname from the Hebrew people. They didn't record what his real name was. They recorded his nickname. This is basically a Hebrew word that means double wickedness. Not the kind of nickname you want. I had the best nickname in this church I've ever had in my life. Blizzard. I love it. I love it. Because I've told you all my nickname in high school was Heather. So Blizzard is just a great, great improvement, okay? So this guy had a terrible nickname. This was like having Heather in high school. And so this king's victory over Israel isn't because he was great. It's because a judgment had occurred upon the people of God because they forgot God. They forgot everything he had told them, and they started living contrary. So what was their crime? It's the crime you and I are often guilty of in our Christian walk. It is forgetfulness. We fall into times that we forget God. When you look at verse 7 again, it tells us that they forgot the Lord their God. Now, the previous generation, it says, had abandoned God. These are two completely different words. To abandon God means that they were very deliberate and they said, you know what? We just aren't feeling this. I want to try something else. This feels a little too close-minded for me. We got all these other possibilities. I think I'll try one of these out. And that didn't work out well for Israel. But now, this generation, they're not intentionally abandoning God. They are just being completely separated to the point that they become oblivious to God. They've forgotten that everything around them is a testimony to God. They've forgotten that creation is a testimony of Him. And so we don't see a deliberate act. What we see here is just an oblivious one. That they have forgotten. They're not paying attention. This kind of moment, this kind of Judges 3 moment, had happened to Israel before. If you read the book of Deuteronomy, which means second law, it is Moses giving his farewell address to Israel before he dies. And in Deuteronomy 32, he reminds them of a bad moment in their history up until that point of getting ready to come into the promised land. He says, "You were unmindful of the rock that bore you, and you forgot the God. You forgot the God who gave you birth." Moses is telling them, don't forget God. The reason that you are getting ready to enter into this great time in your life is because of what God has done. How many of you, how often have I prayed and said, God, take me through this desert? And then when he does, we become a little less dedicated to talk to God the next day. Well, God, thanks for handling that. If I need you again, I'll give you a call. No, I want to maintain a close relationship. And just like we sang, here I am to worship, because we were made to worship, when we forget God, something else often takes his place in our lives. Is that true? That's absolutely true. When we forget God because we're made to worship, we know there's something more than us, we start to find ourselves seeking after other things. So when I say, here I am to worship, the question you should ask is, here I am to worship who? Here I am to worship what? Why did I come today? Did I come because this was an expectation that other people had on me? Or did I come today because I want to hear what God has to say? And that is the reminder to me on a regular basis. You know, I come here and you say, well, Heath, you know, you came here to listen to yourself. You'll probably agree with most of your message today. But no, I came here today because I want to worship the Lord with you. I am just a member of this church who happens to get a few minutes each Sunday to share with you things God is teaching to me. That's the only difference between you and I, is that I have this platform to be able to share with you. But I'm here to worship just as much. Sometimes I come in here and the praise team is practicing, and like that's just kind of a little private time I get. I enjoy that. Before I come in here, I open up the Bible, not to what I'm going to preach to you today, but just to something else that God wants to speak to me. I want to read. I want to stay close to Him. I don't want to wait for the crisis. I want to enjoy every day with God. Well, Israel, because they forgot God and they begin to become distant, it says that they turn to the false gods of these surrounding nations. At the end of verse 7, it says that they served the Baals and the Ashereth. Now, we don't know as much about the Ashereth. Other places you'll read about them worshiping the Asherah poles. This was a fertility, a female goddess that was kind of denoted by trees and wood and stuff like that. But Baal is someone that we hear of a lot in the Old Testament, a false god worshipped by the Canaanite people. But you need to understand how horrific, how vile this religion was. Jeremiah 19, 4 through 5 tells us that when Israel was worshiping the Baals, that they were sacrificing their children in fire, that they were taking their children and sacrificing, Jeremiah 19 says, the innocents. And in fact, when excavations have been done of these Baal temples, they find the remains of children buried in the foundations. There was nothing redeemable about what these people were doing. This is why God judged them. It was not just a judgment on them being distant from God, but because they were taking innocent life. And so we see here that Israel allows themselves to forget a God who has loved them and to instead give themselves to a religion where they give up their kids. This is the foolishness of forgetting God, because you never know what you or I, in our foolishness and in the emptiness of not worshiping God, may chase after instead. This serves as a warning to us today. When believers forget God, we no longer influence the culture around us as much as the culture around us influences us. When we forget God, we no longer influence the culture around us as much as we are influenced. I had a young lady who, as she graduated from our youth group in our last church, she was going into college. And so I still tried to contact her and said, how's your personal devotion going and things like that? And I said that to her one day in a message. I said, make sure that you're influencing more than you're being influenced. And she said, you know what? I needed to remember that. Because she said, if I'll be honest, I realize I'm being influenced more than I'm influencing anybody. You know what? That's a great moment of clarity. Yes, we look at that and we may be disappointed in the choices we made. But remember, in your moment of disappointment, it's always a moment to make a change. When you have that clarity and you realize that you have been on the wrong path, you can change through Jesus Christ. And I'm thankful for those moments of clarity. But how is it possible? I mean, how is it really possible that a believer can forget God? You can keep your finger in Judges 3. Turn over to Psalm 103 for a moment. Psalm 103. I want to show you exactly why you and I forget God. Which seems, when I titled this message, I thought, that seems so silly. I don't forget God, but the reality is I do. There are times that I forget God. Not because I'm trying deliberately to leave Him behind, I'm just not being dedicated and devoted. We look at Psalm 103, verses 2 through 5. Here's what David writes. He says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits,
who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, verse 2 is really the key of this, but you might read it and say, well, I have some diseases that haven't been healed. I have some sicknesses that haven't been healed. What is going on here? Because I believe the Bible means what it says. In verse 2, it says, bless the Lord, O my soul. You realize that the most important care that God gives you and I is eternal care, right? Our soul. This week I heard someone say, God healed my friend's cancer because he took her to heaven. That is a healing for the believer in Jesus Christ. And it's a reminder to me that God works on an eternal level. I always want to see it done in a temporal way. I always want to see it done in a way that makes sense to me. But shouldn't I praise God when he heals somebody by bringing them into his presence? Yes, I should. Doesn't mean I don't pray for their healing while they're here, but I'm not going to forget all of his benefits. And that's what David says there in Psalm 103. The reason we forget God sometimes is we have forgotten his benefits. I had a new believer contact me this week, and they were kind of struggling. They said, I kind of have an opportunity to be involved in the old life again. I'm really struggling, and I'm not sure what to do. And I said, I want you to do this. I want you to think about all the ways God has been changing and transforming your life. I want you to think about those benefits. And now I want you to think about what your life was like before Jesus. And I want you to compare them for just a moment. Now, I was asking this person to do this and think on it for a week. It took them 10 seconds to say, wait a minute, you're right. What Jesus has given me since is so much better. And in fact, they say no longer they've been struggling with the idea of going back to the old life. Now, we're going to have those struggles, but there isn't this desire to completely abandon. This person realized, you know what? I had forgotten what Jesus has done for me. Even in a short time from salvation, I had forgotten the benefits of the Lord. You can turn back to Judges 3. So Israel had basically forgotten to bless the Lord. And the way they forgot is they forgot to remember him. It didn't just lead them to apathy. This is important. It didn't just lead them to apathy. It led them to evil. Now, I've been enjoying, I think I've shared with you all, I've been enjoying learning racquetball. And I've been playing racquetball with some folks. And Troy and I have been playing racquetball a little bit. And I remember the first few times I went, if you don't know much about racquetball, all you need to know is whenever you hit that ball up against the front wall, it can only hit the floor once. Once it hits a second time, you lose. So what was happening is Troy is up there, and he was better than me. I say was because I've won a few games, but I guess he is still winning the majority. And he would serve it, and it's coming. And as I'm watching, I'm going, well, I could hit it right here. Maybe I should wait for it to bounce off the wall over there. I'm not sure. Maybe I should take it off that back wall. And by the time I had gotten done deciding what I was going to do, the ball had bounced 4 or 5 times. And Troy said something to me that has helped my game. He said, you need to stop thinking in multiple choice. See, you're thinking, maybe I'll do A, maybe I'll do B, maybe I'll do C, maybe I'll do D. By the time you're done, I'm already serving again. He said, you need to just think of true or false. I can hit it, I can't hit it. And that is exactly what we need to realize in our Christian life. It is not a matter of I live in obedience, disobedience, or apathy. There are not three choices. When I'm living in obedience, I'm obedient to the Lord. When I'm living in apathy and just not caring, that's disobedience. Just like my pastor in college used to say, partial obedience is still disobedience. There's only two choices. We try to create a third choice, a middle choice of, well, you know, I didn't do as well as I could have. No, it comes down to, was I obedient to the Lord's commands or was I disobedient? Sometimes we don't like operating in the true and false. We like to operate in the multiple choice, but then you'd just be standing around and the choice isn't even there available anymore. And that's what was happening to Israel. They were failing. And you and I need to think, in my speech, am I operating by multiple choice? Well, I should probably speak kind to them. I might speak mean to them. Well, I'm going to speak mean to them because they spoke mean to me. There's a third choice. No, there's not. I either honor God in my speech or I don't. You and I
in 2016 have a more difficult time living in the true and false. We have a lot of people who are not willing to accept true and false. And I want to have multiple choice. I hated multiple choice on tests. They all looked right to me. They all looked right to me. I like a good true and false. You know what? I gave it a shot. 50-50. Here we go. But the Bible is challenging us to recognize whether it's in my speech or at my job, in my home, even in times of relaxation, am I honoring God? Am I dishonoring God? In every moment, there's a true and a false. So when we realize that we've forgotten a great God, when you or I realize that in our life, and the awareness of all of his benefits and his love brings us back to him, we find that the God we've forgotten hasn't forgotten us. Take a look again at Judges chapter 3. We continue reading verses 9 through 11. It says in Judges 3, 9, "But when the people of Israel cried out to the Lord raised up a deliverer for the people of Israel who saved them. Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him, and he judged Israel. He went out to war, and the Lord gave Cush and Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, in his hand, and his hand prevailed over Cush and Rishathaim, so the land had rest 40 years. Then Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died." So you see here that the people have forgotten God, but then something changes, something happens. It says, when the people of Israel cried out. Have you ever been in a time of prayer with a large group of people that was really meaningful to you? A lot of us have been in a time of prayer where it was not meaningful to us. The Spirit wasn't there. Everyone was just thinking about what they were going to say. We weren't really praying together. We've all been through those. Last year at the convention for our denomination, on the Tuesday night, where a lot of times they have business meetings or somebody's speaking, they canceled everything. And they took all 5,000 plus of us messengers from all over the country, and we just prayed together. And it was a dramatic night. My wife was there too. I mean, we were not only praying together and praying individually, but you started praying with people around you. There was a guy from Arkansas over here, and suddenly they said, just pray with whoever's around you. We started praying with these people, and it was just an amazing time of recognizing we all were seeing areas that we needed to pray, not just for our lives and for our churches, but for our denomination, for our country, for the gospel going out to the world. Even here at our church, at times that we've had nights of prayer, those have been important times to see people praying for one another, to see people caring that somebody is hurting, to see people caring that someone has a real issue that is burdening them and weighing them down. Well, it tells us that there were faithful people that were praying in Israel. Othniel, he's related to Caleb. If you remember, Caleb and Joshua were two of the spies that said, we can go into the promised land, we can do it. So he's come from a faithful family. That chain of faith is continuing down through. And I bet he was probably praying and asking God to deliver. There were probably individuals throughout Israel who were saying, God, deliver us. But God was waiting for the nation to pray en masse. He was waiting for this great majority of people to come together and to cry out to the Lord together. Yes, God can work through the prayers of one or two. But when you want to see revival, it comes because many people together are recognizing our spiritual shortfall and that only God can make it up. That only God can empower and only God can change it. And so this Hebrew is indicating that the larger body of Israel came together. It took them 8 years to realize this. Yes, they gained 40 years of peace later, but 8 years to realize this. And you know what? Going through Judges for a while, it's been in my heart, I want us to pray as a church together more. We've done some nights of prayers. I've been trying to figure out, God, what does this look like in our church? And then reading here in Judges 3, I continue to feel it from the Lord. Okay, how do we do this more? And I'll be sharing that more. We're going to talk about it in our leadership council today. I encourage you, pray for our ministry leaders. God is doing some wonderful things in our church, but we need to cover it with prayer and not just more plans. Plans without prayer are not effective. Oh, you might do a few things here and there, but you won't see the kind of work that makes you stand back and go, wow, God.
And so we look and we say, how can we pray more? So you be praying about that. I'll be sharing that more with you. But it tells us here that faithful Othniel was not enough to rescue Israel alone. When you look at verse 10, it says, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. Remember what we've been saying. The judge was the face of the rescue, but God was the power. God was the one working behind these individuals to actually bring restoration. So sometimes we need to realize what we're capable of. I know that I'm capable of shooting a basketball. I know I am incapable of dunking a basketball. I can recognize the difference between my capability and my incapability. You need to do the same thing in your spiritual life. When the power of the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it makes all the difference. I know there have been times in my ministry that I've preached not filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And that was not the fault of God. That was a fault of Heath. That was Heath thinking, you know what, I'm rushing. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to think about this. I just need to get in there and I just need to do it. Just get it done. Those are great days. Really good days. No, when you have the Spirit of God empowering you and changing you, and not just in something like preaching, but raising my children the way God is calling me to raise my children. Talking to people who are difficult to talk to in a way that honors God. These things are accomplished. I am made capable as I say, Holy Spirit, fill me. Work through me. Remind me who I am without you. You see, that's what we need. That will lead you to less forgetfulness when you remember what you're like without God. But when I remember what I'm like with God, what he does in my life. And so this man, he's displaying the power of God. And we need to, in the same way, have the Spirit of God on us, influencing our thoughts, influencing our words, influencing our actions, allowing the total person, not just the public person, but the private person inside the mind, just like we talked about, your thought life is your real life. All those areas of our life must be covered by the Holy Spirit. So I challenge you again in the same way God is challenging me. Don't forget the God who never forgets you, the God who made you, the God who knows that you walked in this morning hurting, the God who knows you walked in this morning stressed, the God who knows you didn't want to walk in here this morning, the God who knows all those things. I challenge you and myself, be mindful of God. That's what Moses said to Israel. You became unmindful. Be mindful of God. You know what? I know life's tough. And I know you have a million things on your schedule. But listen, you cannot let personal time with the Lord be the last thing you schedule. It won't happen. I know you're busy. Tough. I'm busy too. And I know that my busyness would be a great heartache every day if I did not spend time with the Lord. Don't let it be the last thing you schedule because you won't get it scheduled. I remember I had a friend who used to tell me, yeah, every time at the end of my day, I lie down in bed and I talk to God. I was like, really? Because if I did that, I'd be asleep. Because I'm a terrible person. So I realize I need to schedule that time. I want to be mindful of God. I want to give God a good time. In fact, I get up in the morning. On mornings, I don't go with my son early to the gym. But if I'm getting up, I'm not going anywhere, I don't immediately start reading my Bible because I know I'm foggy up here. I need a second. So I take a second, I double check, are there any emergency emails or texts or something I missed over the course of the night? I wait until I'm alert because I want to be mindful of God. And I tell you, coming in here this morning, having read a passage that had nothing to do with the sermon I preached to you today was important for me. I read an important passage to me about how to interact with my family. And I'm thankful for those reminders. You and I, to be mindful of God, we can't just say, well, I'll be more mindful of God. No, we have to be in close relationship with him. Read his word. Talk to him through prayer. He is always, always available. Take that opportunity. Thank him and remember all of his benefits. Thanking and remembering
boy, they bless you. Also think about, am I being an influencer or am I being influenced? Which one is happening more in my interactions with people around me? And the most important thing is this. If you've never said yes to Jesus, if you right now feel the weight of your sin because you've never asked God to forgive it, either because you didn't know you could, or you didn't believe that Jesus could do it, or that he would do it, I want you to think about your life now. What are the benefits you can't live without? I'll tell you, just as that new believer recognized, if you compare what the old life has to offer to what Jesus has to offer, you realize there is no comparison. And if you've never asked Jesus Christ to forgive your sins, promise you heaven, and give you a brand new life, you are missing out on the greatest gift you can have in life and in eternity.